maybe an Irish striker on the way to the speculation about Evan Ferguson possibly coming on loan. You haven't heard anything? No?
I'll give him a text now on the way home.
Drop him a text there and let us know what he says.
I haven't heard that.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. You're listening to Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show. Yeah! Hi, it's Emma Carroll here from Off the Ball Breakfast. How are you doing? I'm here to bring you some highlights and tell you what you need to know from this week's show. So this week we caught up with some of our Olympic medalists from the pool. Daniel Whiffen and Mona McSherry were both on the show earlier in the week. And the first thing you need to know is why sports psychology doesn't work for Daniel Whiffen.
Your pre-race bits, Daniel, you know, the write it in the history books and like also the stuff that my kids were doing when we were watching the stuff when we were on holidays, the phone and landing in the pool afterwards. Is that stuff, how far in advance are you coming up with that stuff?
So the walkouts were really just there as like a technique to stop overthinking.
Did your sports psychologist help you come up with that?
I don't like sports psychologists, actually. I'm not a big fan of them. I just don't think they work well with me. Every athlete's individual. So like they tell you to think of different scenarios, like what happens if you do lose or something like that. What how are you going to cope with that? And I might call, I'm just not going to lose. That's what I just say. So I think they're a waste of time. I think my last one I had told me I didn't need a sports psychologist because they said I'm borderline delusional, that I can just believe something that maybe isn't necessarily true. But I just have that self-belief in myself. And it's like, if I say I'm going to win the Olympics, I'm going to win the Olympics and I'll make sure that everybody knows it. Maybe you can call it false confidence. I don't know, because I'm literally in the call room and I could tell everybody in the race that I'm going to win and then go and do it. It's not like I'm using it as like I don't actually believe. I just actually believe that much of myself that I can tell you months in advance that I'm going to win.
When they called you borderline delusional, were you like, thanks very much?
Well, people was like, do you not take offence to that? And I was like, no, it just means I'm a good athlete.
Honestly, there's about 40 minutes of an absolutely brilliant chat with Daniel. It's definitely worth your time over the weekend. Have a listen to that. From one Olympic swimmer to another, and this was another brilliant chat with Mona McSherry. You might have noticed during the Olympics how Mona was the last one standing on the blocks. She told us why she does that.
The more like beneficial side of it, not only that it looks really cool to be the last people standing on the blocks, but is you kind of get one last big like breath of air, like you fill your lungs fully. As you can see it sometimes, photos that are taken of me and it looks like I'm sticking out my belly because I'm doing one big belly breath before I go down. So that would be more the kind of like physiological side of it, like why we actually do it is you're not crunched over before you start. So you're really like, and then take your marks and go. And then also, you know, you can kind of get stuck on the block sometimes if you're down there for too long, whereas we kind of just go down and then go. So it's a little more of like a, you don't have to stop and then try and go from that position. And I like the idea of kind of looking down the lane where I'm going to be swimming before, like that's the last thing I see before I get down and go, is like I'm steering straight down the lane, which is nice too. So it's a fun one. I do every once in a while when I get up at an international stage, I get worried. I think they all know about it now and like different countries do it as well. So it's not as worrying, but sometimes I get worried that they're going to be like, please go down for the start. But no, it's nice. I do remember the first time I came home to Ireland and did it at Irish Trials. And I think they were a little bit confused. And then even the people beside me were kind of like, what is she doing? Because that's the other thing. Like if someone beside you is down and they see that you're still up and they don't know that you do it, they kind of might be a bit confused for a second. And like that's all it takes, a split second of someone's mental focus shifting. And that's like the mental side of it too. Like even in the call room, you know, like some people love to play the intimidation game in the call room just to try and get people psyched before they race. And it's just interesting, like all these different tactics that happen before you even dive in and race.
Yeah, as I said, Mona was absolutely brilliant. Listen back to the full interview and find out what her plans are for LA in 4 years' time as well. And by the way, the Daniel Whiffen and Mona McSherry podcasts are actually available for you to listen to for free, so you can catch that wherever you get your podcasts. From the Olympics to the Paralympics then, we had Irish Paralympic legend and the fastest Paralympian of all time, Jason Smith, was on the show this week. Now, I don't know about you, right? I love the games, but one thing that always gets me is trying to understand the different classifications and categories. Jason told us all we need to know about that.
It's complex. There's no getting around that. I don't know. Is there an easy way? I think if you look, there's probably broken into a number of different impairments. So, for example, there's visual impairment classes, which are myself. There are different levels of an impairment. So there are those that have movement below a certain point in the vertebrae are those wheelchair racers. You've got amputees. And then the other one's probably cerebral palsy, which affects one side or multiple sides of muscles. So really, you've got, they're probably the core impairments, but there is different levels of impairments, which equals an a certain number. So T13, for example, equals the number, equals a visual impairment a class. But I know Paralympics and even some of the coverage, there is a system out that with the races will actually give a bit of an explanation around impairments and show it visually to try get people just to look and see what it is. Because the reality is you ain't going to remember what a 13 equals, and it's definitely a challenge. Some of the impairments you can see, which sometimes is obvious, where someone like myself is a little trickier where you can't see. So it's definitely an awareness and education piece, and it sometimes that takes a little time.
Yeah, you see, just like we all become Olympic experts, during the Paralympics, if you understand the classifications, you're definitely the expert to your mates. The Great Pink Run is on this weekend. Very important fundraiser for breast cancer in Ireland, I'm sure you'll agree. We had the Ambassador and Republic of Ireland International, Jamie Finn, in studio this week. Jamie spoke to us about how her ACL recovery is going, and unfortunately, you might remember, Jamie was one of the most surprising players to be left out of last year's World Cup in Australia. So just imagine, you're left out of a squad, but you're asked to travel as a training player. Just imagine how that would feel. Jamie told us exactly what that's like.
I was basically looking at other people living out my dream to play at a World Cup. You want to play at the World Cup, that's the main thing. So yeah, not to make it was fairly difficult for me, and then even more difficult to go over and be involved and not be involved at the same time.
So that's the other side of this that maybe people are slightly unfamiliar with. You travel, and I presume you get all the gear and you're part of everything and you're rooming with everybody and you're training all day, every day, and then the squad gets named and the team gets named and you're not even allowed to be a part of that. You're kind of almost, you're there, but you're semi-invisible.
Yeah, that's basically it. That's it in a nutshell. Like I was basically a player, but didn't get to step foot on the pitch.
Because it's hard to process that, and it's not like you're playing the pub team. This is in the public lair as well. Like,
yeah, it was a very difficult situation because obviously it's a team sport, and
exactly
the girls are at a World Cup. Like, I'm not gonna sit in the corner and kind of cry about it because I agreed to go and I had to put on a brave face to help them train for one and prepare them for the games.
Yeah.
And that's what I agreed to do. So. Yeah, I think I just like put my feelings to the side.
It was announced at the start of the week that David Nusafora will become a consultant to Scotland Rugby. Here's what you need to know about how that will work, as explained here by Tom English.
He will be running the show. He's part-time, but he is in total control. It's kind of a weird combination here. But they are in the mood for complete change of their underage structure, which has been failing for many, many years. So basically, Nusafora has been given a train set here and he's been told, right, do whatever the hell you want with this.
Or copy and paste what Ireland did.
Well, it's going to be difficult there because with the school structure in Ireland, that doesn't exist here to anything like the same extent. He's going to be in charge of, you know, overseeing recruitment at Glasgow and Edinburgh. He's going to be working with Sean Everett at Edinburgh and Franco Smith at Glasgow and Gregor Townsend, as somebody high up in the SRU told me last Sunday when the story broke. He will be running the show.
Are you a rugby fan? Well, you're going to need to know how to pronounce South Africa's next 10. Stormers head coach John Dobson told us how.
He was Sesha Goma Zulu, so if you forget about the M and the N at the start, I just got Goma Zulu. Goma is an entire brand, and Zulu as in obviously the tribe. So when he got famous, his dad reminded him of his name. His dad's a Feinberg. You won't get a better brand than this in South African rugby.
Finally, it's not strictly sport, but it does involve Croke Park, and it might be the biggest thing to happen this week. You might not need to know this one, but for your entertainment, here's how the OTB breakfast crew reacted as the news of an Oasis reunion broke on Tuesday morning.
Should we ask Chris Jones there, who's in standby, if he's an Oasis fan?
100%. I cannot wait to go if I'm lucky enough to grab a ticket.
Gio's reunion tour confirmed. Nolan Liam's mum overjoyed.
It's 21 minutes from now. they're going to make an announcement.
Tickets on sale this Saturday, the 31st of August. This is it. This is happening. The Principality, Wembley, Murrayfield, Croke Park and Manchester Heaton Park.
That's happened. That's happened. Yeah. Oh, 100% going to be trying to get tickets. I went for a run yesterday, whacked on Oasis Greatest Hits, was flying through the streets of London. How much are these tickets going to be? I mean, this is going to be like Taylor Swift-esque, isn't it? This is a big morning, Jen. This is an exciting morning.
I've Noel Gallagher's connection with GAHQ stretches all the way back to 1983 when he togged out for the Manchester GA club Usheen's minor football team against Crokes in an exhibition match at Croke Park alongside the brother Paul. Is that true? Is that true?
Yeah.
So that's all you need to know from this week's sport. You can listen to the full interviews now on the Off The Ball app by becoming a member at offtheball.com/join. And if you're not quite ready to become a full member, download the app, sign in, and you can listen to 3 free podcasts per month. Just make sure you hit the download button on the episode that you're listening to so that you can come back to it later. And of course, you can catch all of Off The Ball Breakfast for free by tuning in each morning at 7:30 a.m. You can watch on our YouTube channel or listen to us on OTB Sports Radio, which streams live on the Off The Ball app. We'll be back Monday morning at 7:30 with all the reaction from Liverpool's trip to Old Trafford. We'll have the latest performance rankings and hopefully some medals to celebrate from the Paralympics as well. Have a great weekend.